Amen. The last prayer meeting we talked about breaking spiritual depression. I want to talk about that. I want to continue that today. I think everyone in here knows what it means to be depressed. In fact, they say at any given time, 9% of the population is in severe depression, 25% in regular depression, whatever that is. Depression is something that affects everybody. And because I'm a believer in Christ doesn't mean I won't get depressed. As I said, when I was molested by a relative, I never got over the depression until Christ came. I thought taking my life was the answer. Thank God for His mercy. Interesting fact about people that are Pentecostal in nature have a 3% higher rate of depression than those that aren't believers. And they figured this out because in the Pentecostal message, everything is victory, victory, victory. And if I don't preach a balanced doctrine, then when things hit me, I don't know how to process them. That's why the Word of God is so true, because it does mention suffering. It does mention things. So I'm here to help you break spiritual depression off your life. I want to talk about the power of the glory. You know, aren't you glad we're not left alone when we're depressed? But you know, when you're depressed, don't you feel all alone? But as a believer, we have something we can reach to. Power and glory. So I want you to turn to Psalm 42. Now, Psalm 42 is an interesting psalm because it was when David was leaving Jerusalem because his son Absalom was coming to take the throne, he began to pen these words. Now, this is the chief musician here was Korah, actually Mishael, who was a son of Korah. Now, we know Korah in the book of Numbers, he was destroyed, but this is his descendants. Thank God for mercy for our descendants. Amen. So I want to talk about this today, because even though David was prophet, priest, and king, David got depressed. It's always astounded me, really, how that on Sunday you can shout, on Monday the shout is gone. I wanted to find out about depression, because so many people, not only in here, but people out there in our workplace and offices are depressed. And eating 6 pieces of pizza and going into another relationship or getting the bottle down at the liquor store is not going to cure it. And as much as I believe in medicine, sure. Listen, there's so much today on trying to give you pills to get out of depression. Now, I believe, sure, there's chemical imbalances, but a pill can't heal the soul. The pill can't heal the soul. There was no pill they could give me to heal being molested by my relative. I needed Jesus. But listen to this, Psalm 42, to the chief musician, which scowled for the sons of Korah. As the deer pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been by me day and night, while they continue saying unto thee, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, and a multitude that kept holy day. Or Sunday, you can say that. Why are you cast down, O my soul, why are you disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan, the Hermonites, and the hill Mizar. Deep call from the deep with the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer to the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they daily say unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Lord, bless your word to us today and help us in Jesus' name. You know what I love about David? He was honest. He wasn't wearing a church mask. He wasn't wearing a spiritual mask. He was honest with God. He said, God, there's a lot of things happening here, but I want you to know, first of all, God, I am panting after you. I am seeking after you. And sometimes it's hard to put on the screen of our imagination the disproportionate amount of trials that come to us compared to the blessings. And there are times in our life where it seems like trials are more rampant than the blessing of God.
Amen.
But David said, I want to establish this before I talk about my depression. I'm panting after you. I know there's no man and there's no woman. There's no organization. There's no pill. There's no food. There's no new house and new car is going to help me. I'm panting after you, oh God. There's the first key of walking in victory over depression. Then he said this, the second thing, when shall I come and appear before God? David realized his life here was short. He realized that one day he'll stand in the presence of God, immediate presence after he died. So he begins to focus on what is temporary and what is eternal. But what is amazing here, he's depressed. You see, the lie of the devil is, when you're depressed, you can't make any progress. That's a lie from hell. Third thing, I love this part. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to church. With a voice of joy, we're praising God. And a multitude, we're all there on Sunday praising God. But God, it's Tuesday now and I'm depressed. My soul is cast down. I don't totally understand how the inconsistency of the flowing of the nature of God in my life on Sunday. But here's Tuesday and I'm miserable and in my room. And I'm playing my old songs from the 70s. And I'm ready to go get some pot. And I'm ready to find out what's the latest thing on TikTok and YouTube. Oh, God, but I know if I look in the mirror, I am depressed.
Yes.
Interesting, isn't it, that depression is the casting down of the soul. Uh-huh. It's a casting down.
Yeah.
It's a looking at things like the one man Jesus touched. I see men as trees. We have movement in our life, but we don't have any definity. Nothing is really defined what to do. And I realize, having gone through those valleys, that in the times of depression, it's very hard to focus on anything. Because self consumes itself with more depression.
Yeah.
And sin anyway is just self bending in on itself for a momentary pleasure or some type of thing, but it realizes all it did is dug the hole deeper. I have a lot of compassion for people who suffer from depression. I don't look down at them. I look so I can help them. I'm going to give you 5 trigger points that causes depression. Do you know we all have trigger points? Over here. Y'all know we have trigger points?
Yeah.
Somebody can say somebody's name. They can say a football team. They can say snow is coming. Don't call me. Don't text me. Say, Pastor, the blizzard of the century is coming. Don't do that because you just triggered me, honey. I had enough. Just say, Pastor, and we look at the weather. We all have trigger points. If we're honest like David, we could be going through life, oh, everything's fine, sound of music, and all of a sudden someone says something, someone does something, and man, we are triggers. And I've learned this. If I don't let God cleanse me of trigger points, I will fight an endless battle with depression. Because trigger points trigger anger, which brings up bitterness, which evolves, I don't like that word, but evolves into a casting down. Think about the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt, they're thirsty. How about we're really thirsty? Amen. I mean, we're so blessed. We don't get thirsty that much. You know, on the street, I see Mike Lee comes in with his drink, and I come in with my Dunkin' Donuts stuff. I mean, very rarely are we really thirsty. But here's the children of Israel, having suffered 400 years in bondage. They come out, they're all dancing, hallelujah. And they go 3 days, and ain't nobody got no water. Now, 2.5 million people not having water with children and babies, that's pretty serious, isn't it? They come to this pool, and they take a drink. Oh, we found it, and they were bitter waters. And they got triggered. Everybody said they got triggered. Then they got angry. Bugs. You brought us out here to kill us. We know that when you're depressed, it's not a good time to talk to people about their problems. You know, that's not the time to vent something towards them. Yeah. We're out of focus. Moses, I got to meet this guy. I got to meet a pastor of 2.5 million people that really did not want God. How on earth did you keep going? And so here he is. He's like, what? God just opened the sea. Okay, God. They didn't get it. What do I do? He said, Moses, look over there at that tree. Cut the tree down. Speaking of Christ on the cross. Take that tree and throw it in the water. The bitter waters will be healed. There is nothing on the face of the earth. Get me here. That can heal bitterness other than the cross. There's no self-help. There's no therapy sessions. There's no fruit basket. Someone gives me flowers. Listen, the cross must come into our lives and heal the bitter waters. Why? Because if I don't get rid of the bitterness, I cannot win over depression.
You know those
people. I had to forgive. I had to go after I was saved and pastoring and go to a pastor and release that hurt and speak that person that did it so God would lift it off. Amen. What are you bitter about? Let me give you 5 trigger points. Number 1, unfulfilled expectations. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many of you had some expectations unfulfilled? You know, if we're not careful, you'll get depressed. How about this? Criticism. Now, come on, honey. How many of us are really good at criticism, receiving it? Not quiet. I don't mind constructive criticism as long as love is surrounding it, honey. But don't criticize somebody if you don't love them. Be delicate with people. Don't mistreat them. Don't be mean. You got to say something critical. You've got to wait 30 seconds. Okay. I'm doing this out of love, but is it the right time? So you can be able to criticize you. It's the wrong time, wrong spirit, and that brings depression. You know why? Because once you leave that situation, you go home and think about it. I'm not measuring up. I'm not adding up. How about this? Multiple struggles. One thing after the other. Your little car broke. He went down. This happened. This one did this to me. This happened. I got sick. This one's sick. Bills, IRS, another letter from the IRS. Somebody love it when you open your mailbox and there's a letter from the IRS. Huh? All the rest of you in the quiet must love it. Okay, great. I'll send you a few. Was it last year, the year before we get this letter from the IRS? You owe $5,000! Well, that triggered something. It's one of us. What? We paid that! It wasn't happy for 3 days in my house. What on earth are they? And we call and send letters and say, a year later, oh, we're sorry. Who expects that? I say, yeah, no, the devils are working there. world. How about this? Recollection. Recalling things. See, we're not careful. Our mind is like a little mouse in that wheel. We just go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. That's what kept me depressed. Why would my relative do that? Why would my parents allow that? Why would they do that to me? Over and over through my teenage years, where my twin brother, I'd go to school and the girls would say, "What's wrong with your brother? He never talks." Walking down the hallway, I would avoid people for this is my whole teenage life. Thank God I got into music. But I know what it is to be depressed. And just because you're old and now married or not married or whatever doesn't mean that this thing won't try to come and bring back, especially if you've had problems in relationships, abuse, event, those things will try to come, and we just keep talking about them. Some of you bring up stuff that happened in school, how you were made fun of, or how you didn't get to be the chief cheerleader, or you got cut from the team. I remember, honey, when we went out. How many remember Little League? They still have Little League, yeah. I remember, see, I have a twin brother that could outdo everything in my life. That's not a joke. It's true. Class president, captain, but anyway. So we tried out for Little League, and baseball was my dad's thing. Yeah, just love baseball. So here we are, Little League. We're trying out. Because my brother hits a big ball, and so I'm out in the outfield, and, you know, guys, way. He's like out at the doors back there, and he's gonna hit me a ball, see if I can catch it. I was thinking, I ain't gonna be able to catch that. Are you kidding me? I can catch him like 3 feet away. So I'm back there, he hits the ball, of course, he goes right over my head. Oh, guess what? The next week we all go in there to see who made Little League and who had to stay on grasshoppers. Because I should have been in the Karate Kid movie, you know, Grasshoppers. See, if you weren't good enough Little League, you stayed in the Grasshoppers. Oh, God, it's so good. So, we're standing there looking at the list. Bob Small. Ain't no Bill Small. Oh, I got to call my parents. Oh, it's all right. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. I was thinking it does matter. You've had disappointments too. Only Jesus can take those away. How about this? You ready for this? Preoccupation with yourself. You know, God is the center of our life. That's why the trees in the garden are the center. Depression tries to keep us in the center. And when it does it, we're not very happy compass. Because we become so absorbed with ourselves. Am I the only one separate walk? And sometimes moodiness is a symptom that myself, I'm occupied with. There's a lot of things we can do to get out of that. But digging it deeper. Let me tell you a secret. When you deal with depression, one of the things that will try to come after a while is the shovel of self-pity. And we can dig that thing until Jesus comes. But I've learned this. God doesn't come to pity parties. Because if he came, I'm not saying he won't come and help me, but if I won't give up the shovel, God's not going to come and say, "Oh, I love you, just keep digging."
Right, right.
He said, "Put the shovel away." Yeah. That's what David had to do.
Sorry.
He said, "You know, I'm going to praise God, even while he was depressed." You know, I get tired of thinking about myself all the time. How about you?
Yeah.
It's four of them.
Amen.
How about thinking of others?
Yes.
Prefer others. How about thinking of other people's needs?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's so easy today to help somebody, encourage somebody. Why am I waiting for someone to encourage me? Well, sow something. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to talk about another man, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. While you're turning here, I want to give you three flaws in our thinking. How many believe you have perfect thinking? Is anybody out there? If you do, come on up. I want you to finish this. Flaw number one, if I'm spiritual enough, I'll never face depression. Oh, really? Well, Apostle Paul did. He said, we despaired even of life. David did. There's many. Joshua did. Remember when Achan stole the fig? He was all depressed on his face before God. Being spiritual and doesn't mean I have a free pass from this. Second thing is, it's all in your imagination. It's real. This is real stuff we're dealing with, isn't it? The forces that come against our soul are there to rob it. And it's not an imagination. Now, maybe a thought started the process of depression. But once you're depressed, your feelings and emotions, and how about this? Your body begins to respond to the anxiety that's in the depression. You can't separate the two. And you know the whole thing about this, God loves us so much. He never wanted this for us. God didn't want this for us. Third thing, other believers don't get depressed. I'm the only one. Not true. There's going to be times you come to church and you're dealing with depression. There's times you've got to preach and you're dealing with depression. There's times you've got to be loving to your wife when you're depressed. Loving to your husband. Not barking at him. See, what God wants is for us to recognize these symptoms. Amen?
Amen.
1 Kings 19, verse 1. We all know the story of Elijah, so I'm just going to share a few minutes on it. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Listen, when you're doing something for the kingdom of God, the devil doesn't like you. Instead of sitting on the premises, we need to stand and move in the promises. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Well, that's interesting because actually he called fire down upon him. It's interesting here how that, you know, Jezebel tries to diminish what we do for God. Jesus said, listen, a cup of cold water, I'm watching and giving you a reward. And for Elijah to be able to reach into a dimension and pull from that dimension the power of God, it's just amazing, really. Old Testament. And he was able to reach into a dimension and pull fire out of heaven. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. I don't know if it was first class mail. I don't know if it was email. Saying, so let the gods do to me and me also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. Trigger points. I'll tell you why it triggered Elijah. He was exhausted. Be careful when you're exhausted. Be careful when you didn't get enough sleep. Be careful when you haven't had a vacation. Because depression will try to come and fill the gap of rest. When he saw that, he read the letter, he was triggered. He arose. He reacted. Let me say he reacted. A lot of people, when they're depressed, have done things they ought not have done. I believe many people that have murdered people were depressed. And they didn't see it because it was wrapped in anger. And they gave themselves open to the father of the murderer, the devil. It's another message. When he saw that he rose, he went for his life. That's an interesting phrase. Because in his fatigue and the depression coming, he was thinking, this woman, first of all, is in charge of my life now. How many know, no matter how depressed you get, no matter how you were abused, raped, stolen from, talked about, your life is not in the hands of the person that did it. It's in God's hands. Because He made you and He created you. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left His servant there. He wasn't praising God, but at least He went where Judah, which means praise, is. You're depressed? Get your little self out of bed on Sunday morning and come where Judah is. Whether you feel it or not. Left His servant there. I love this. But He Himself, He didn't stay there and praise. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. You know, one full day of depression could really weigh up. He came and sat down under a juniper tree. Juniper tree is an amazing tree. It actually can shed the branches that die on it. So it can get more life. A juniper tree lives a long time. A juniper tree can live in almost any environment. The desert. He sat down there. How many know when we sit underneath the cross, God will help us? He requested that he might die. See, that's the end of depression, is you want to die. What's the point? What's the point of this job? What's the point of this? What's the point? Why am I doing this? What's the point of going to school? What's the point of it? See, underneath that is because it is. He said, it's enough. He said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Well, wow. All of us together on this journey are going to face things we didn't plan for.
Right.
Some are major events that bring a lingering amount of emotional distress and anxiety. Our thoughts and memories are a blessing, but thoughts and memories also can be a yoke of many thoughts. Your thoughts will eventually work into how you feel. Your emotions and thoughts are tied together. They are really one. So, as he went there, he said, Lord, I want to die. And God says, well, I know you're depressed, but Elijah, you're not done yet. But I'm not just concerned about you doing the rest of what I want. I'm concerned for you. Now you go in there. I'm going to bake you the best bread you ever had. And I'm going to have some water. And get a good night's sleep. Amen. So he did it. He woke up. Then he went back to sleep. Woke up again. God sent the wind, the fire. And then God asked him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And as we begin to close, doing here in depression. This is not who I am. This is not God's will. I refuse to give it. Listen, dude, listen. Everything in a Christian life isn't skipping through the tulips, the sound of music. Listen, there are times that the battle is real, but you have to be like them. You have to say, you know what? Like God said to him, what are you doing here? This is not, I didn't call you. This isn't a test or a trial. It's this persuasion cometh not from him that call you. This is from hell. There's nowhere in Scripture that says God puts depression on anybody. Now we do go through suffering and trials, but God's not going to give us a trial and put depression on it. I mean, some people ain't going to make it. Some don't. Take away my life, I'm not better than my father's. Wind, the fire, go from the stone, through there. And then God says, okay, Elijah, give you bread. You've had a little vacation, a little getaway here. I want you to go, and I want you to anoint Jehu as king, and I want you to anoint Elijah as your replacement. How do we know we're all replaceable?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. We all have an expiration date on us. And God will remove those if he wants a fresh person, he'll remove them. I'm telling you, it's not our work. It's his work. I'm very aware of hiring guys. Quickly. So I walk circumspectly. Right? If I'm done, tell me. I don't want to do more. David almost made a fatal mistake. He was on his dying bed and hadn't appointed who was going to be the king. So Adonijah went and got 10,000 men and proclaimed, "I'm king." And Bathsheba had come, "Man, wake up, man. You just got out of your physical therapy. You just took your chair and told, wake up. Adonijah's going. You're supposed to be anointing Solomon." Sometimes things are missed in the kingdom. David, what were you thinking? Were you going to die and then someone else appoint a king? That was your job. Do you know? Thank God Elijah got that. But you know what? He didn't anoint King Jehu. He didn't finish. See, depression will keep you from being all that you can be. As we close, the worship song, but let me give you three things and I'm done. You got to get connected to the remedy. Number one, replace your thoughts with God's truth.
Amen.
How about this? Talk to yourself instead of listening to yourself.
Yes.
David realized, listen, I got to stop talking this, yet I will praise it. Second thing, replace yourself with God. And this is the key. Turn from inward to upward.
Amen.
No, you didn't get it.
Good.
Turn from inward to upward.
Amen.
Because everything in here is not based on truth.
Right.
There's no one in this room that has complete truth everywhere. Thoughts, motives, nobody, because we're not perfect.
Right.
They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There are parts of us only the Holy Spirit can show. It's not what you believe about yourself might not be true. I don't think you see yourself totally as God. I think we're in that process. I was looking in the mirror as I was getting ready, and I just noticed this wrinkle over here that I hadn't seen. And what's the truth? The truth is, the outward man perishes, the inward man's renewed. Okay, I got it. I used to have a full head of hair, beard, my blessed ball, go to my rock car, go to play. Hey, baby, guess what? But you know what? It's still what's inside that counts. I said, it's still what's inside that counts. I said, come on, stand up. It's still what's inside that counts. And I want to ask you today, are you ready to get rid of that depression? Take a step. Are you ready to help someone else? Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stupid. A kind word lives in the heart. Let other people be critical. Let other people complain. Let other people be judgmental. You be like Jesus, who a woman was taken in adultery. Huh? The woman who had five husbands and shacked up with another one. It wasn't critical, it was truthful with love. How many want to get free from this thing? How many, as we sing this song, believe God can put you on the road? If that's you, I'm going to just ask you to come out to the front. We're going to spread out. Don't be. We all deal with it. Is anybody? Come on. I don't want to be free from this thing. There's someone in here and you were molested too sexually. Holy Spirit's telling me, God said, I won't heal you. I want to deliver you from that. Someone in here, you were raised in a alcoholic environment. That's the one you. Some of you this morning when you were in high school was a major embarrassment for you. Felt like you never wanted to go back to school. God sees that He wants to heal that. Some of you have been through a divorce. You still don't know the rejection, the anger, the fighting. And that brings a lingering amount of emotional instability and anger and depression. And as we sing this, I want you just to talk to Jesus. He's here for you.